You're listening to Mind Your Own Business. Hi, I'm Scott Sullivan, your host. Mind Your Own Business is a weekly show that we do talking to some of the greatest CEOs and entrepreneurs, helping you to be better at being a business professional by learning from all of the experience that these entrepreneurs and CEOs bring from all around the world. Exclusively here on Inspired News Radio. And now it's time for Mind Your Own Business.
Well, it's a great day right here at Inspired News Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Mind Your Own Business. I am so excited to be bringing you, as we do each and every week, great entrepreneurs, people that are, you know, experts in business that bring you these golden nuggets that we talk about all the time about, you know, making you better entrepreneurs, making you better business people. And this week is no exception. I'm Scott Sullivan, your host. Most of you know me as Sales with Sully. I am here on Inspired News Radio, and wherever you find your podcasts, we appreciate you, the listener, tuning in each and every week. And this week I have for you a best-selling author, a world-renowned coach and business executive, a guy who has worked in Fortune 500s, who has this vast knowledge of how to look out over the landscape of your business and help make it better each and every day. And of course, I'm talking about Ari Brish. So Ari, welcome to Mind Your Own Business. And how are you today?
Thanks for having me, Scott. Wonderful, wonderful day here in Austin, Texas. almost like your own motherland, California.
That's correct. Up here in Northern California, it's a beautiful day. So first of all, thank you so much for being on the show. I know you are sought after by so many people. And now, especially since you have your new book out and it is a bestseller and things are going crazy, I really appreciate you taking time. We've been trying so hard to get you on the show and trying to get schedules together and getting you here. So I really, really appreciate that so much. Why don't you do this? Why don't you tell us a little bit about CXO360 and then just mention your book a little bit, because we just want to tease it. We don't want to give them too much information. And then tell us, as you know, all of my listeners, they love to know about the origin story. And then just kind of dive in, you know, pick a spot somewhere on the time continuum of how you found out this was going to be your path. And how did you get your feet on this path? So tell us a little bit about CXO360 and what you're doing right now, and then dive right in.
Okay, thanks for having me again, Scott. So CXO360 is kind of an advisory and consulting and business development and fundraising help and strategy help to different companies in almost industry agnostic. We'll get to my roots later, grew up in high tech, but in the past 10 or so years, I've done work in almost any industry imaginable.
And then tell us about the accent and where did you come from? What's so my listeners, you know, are probably, I'm hoping they're Googling you right now. They're looking up Ari Brish and going, oh man, CXO360.net. I know that guy.
I think you have an accent, not me, but the different in the accent. By the way, one thing you learn when you do global business and you grow up in a certain place and you think the culture of where you grow up and the accent of where you grow up is the natural and everybody else is different. But then when you transfer to a different country, you start to look at yourself and learn about yourself and understand yourself so much better because you have a way to compare between your roots and your cultural roots and the new place you live in. So that's the case here, and I heard the same story from lots of other people that had to spend significant time in different countries. So my roots, I grew up in Israel, went to school in Israel, but all my career, most of my career was working between U.S. and Israel, either working for American companies in Israel, later working here in the U.S. For American companies, of course. In the last few years, I had clients. Some of my clients were from Israel, some from the U.S., and some from other countries as well. So I'm very global, very industry agnostic, and I enjoy the learning experience with each project.
And the world is getting so much smaller now. I mean, remember, yes. You and I are of a certain generation, shall we say. We have a little bit of gray hair, just a little. I'm not going to, I don't want to go there too much, but we are of a certain
just a little
generation.
The other little doesn't exist anymore.
Well, but when you and I were children, it was quite an ordeal to travel internationally. I mean, there were, It wasn't easy. You couldn't just walk up to an airport, grab a ticket, and jump on a plane to Israel. I mean, There were, you know, when I was a kid, if you wanted to go to Israel, even to visit the homeland or do something, it was quite an ordeal. There were, you know, paperwork and shots and things you had to do and to prepare. And it was an ordeal and a travel adventure. And now, I mean, you can jump on a plane in Austin and get off the plane in Israel, and it'd just be like another day.
Right, exactly. You wake up in the other side of the world.
And then how did you find out, I mean, what was it, were you in university, or when did you determine that you really wanted to be in business and that you wanted to work in high tech and in the Fortune 500 kind of realm? When did you, I mean, was this just something that your parents said, hey, this is what you're going to do? Was it kind of were you groomed for this, or when did you just wake up one morning and go, I think I found my niche?
Yeah, no, not at all. I grew up in a very traditional, old-fashioned. My dad worked for the same employer all his life. He was offered one time another job with a competitor for double the salary, and he was offended that they even thought that he's going to leave his, lifelong employer. So that's the world I grew up in. To answer your question, it kind of acquired thing, so to speak. I did my undergraduate degree was in engineering. I thought I'll do engineering work and build stuff all my life. But after the first job, so my first job was an R&D engineer for an American company. If you remember, some people may remember, was called National Semiconductor. We designed a very advanced microprocessor for them back in the days. The design center, the R&D center, was based in Israel. And then I was offered, once we had the first prototype, I was offered to be relocated to the Silicon Valley, where the headquarters was, and help in commercializing this new microprocessor. And that's where I fell in love with the business aspect and everything around the commercialization process. I thought, okay, designing something is you do it once and you know how to do it. That's not exciting anymore. And I started to enjoy the people interface and dealing with supply chain, dealing with customers, dealing with company politics, all the human interactions around the process of commercializing the product.
Wow. So how early, I mean, not that I don't want you to date yourself, but I do know that National Semiconductor, so I actually know quite a bit about the company because, you know, coming out of the energy business, I've been in the energy business my entire life, and also being like you, a student of the world, a lot of my friends and a lot of people I know in the solar industry came out of National Semiconductor. They came out of out of the Sun Systems, you know, some of the early days of building chips, and you know, some of the Intel folks and everything else. But were you around when Dr. Rolfing, Rolfing was still, was he still involved? Were you still part of the organization before it became, or I guess while it was still part of Sperry and some, because it was on the East Coast of the United States long before it ever came out to California. It was, it started in, I guess, in the 60s. I'm not exactly sure, but how old were you when you came to work?
The company started in the 60s in the Silicon Valley. Maybe you're confusing with some other company. It was one of the early semiconductor companies that kind of started with Fairchild Semiconductor, and then different people left Fairchild, some formed, started Intel, and some people started National Semiconductor and few others. So those were the companies that started the whole Silicon Valley madhouse. Back in the late 60s and 70s. So I joined National in 1978, right out of school. That was my first job out of school.
Wow. So you were like right on the cutting edge. I mean, you want to talk about somebody that, you know, brings the real world experience from the cutting edge of technology. I mean, these were in the very, very, very early days of computers. I mean, before we, you know, before we knew what a chip was, before we had these smartphones that, you know, could do all this stuff. Oh, I mean, yeah. we had rooms full of, I mean, when the transistors and the data processor, I mean, the microprocessor started becoming invented, I mean, you were right there at the very beginning. And then as you moved through your career, when did you realize then, you know, what was the, you know, what was the actual outcome of going from that into business? Because now you were selling, were you selling or implementing? What was it that you started doing that gave you this introduction to, I mean, I need to be in business. I need to be in the business world.
Yeah. So, as I said, I was assigned to move from being an R&D engineer for this very advanced microprocessor at the time. And that's before personal computers, by the way. Back in the days, we called them microcomputers, and the main application at the time was very primitive games that people played with. Once I was assigned to support all the different disciplines around commercializing this new microprocessor, I was involved in everything, basically. I supported marketing, I supported sales, I supported manufacturing, taking it into manufacturing, meeting with customers, dealing with purchasing of equipment for the R&D center in Israel. So my fingers were in lots of stuff back then, and that's when I fell in love with this people interaction. Everything you have to do, you turn left or right, you deal with some people and people issues and political company politics. And it kind of intrigued to me that this is what I want to do, deal with the people and not with the technology.
That's amazing. So then as you moved ahead through your career, let's jump ahead to where you actually realize now that you have become an expert in this. I mean, you are sought after by global companies all over the world that are saying, hey, I am having, you know, these challenges and I need to have you come in and help solve these problems. And it's all based on, you know, not only the technology, but also on the personal interaction, the politics. I know you and I have talked about the transition of family-owned businesses from one family member to another. You've worked in some of those environments. When did you realize that, you know, I need to write this down and put it in a book? Because in the last few years, I mean, you've become a best-selling author. I'm going to tell you is I'm actually a huge fan, and I think it's fantastic, and I love the play on words on the title. So for those of you that are looking it up right now, Ari Brish has written a book called Lay an Egg and Make Chicken Soup. So there's a little bit of a play on words there, but it is a absolute bestseller. It's a holistic innovation process from concept to market expansion. If you are in business, if you're a business person, and you don't have to be the CEO, if you're just in business, if you're working in a business that is growing, that wants to get to the next level, you can highly count on the fact that lay an egg and make chicken soup is something that you should be, you know, having on your nightstand or having in your Kindle or put it in your audiobook. So tell us when that came about. When did you realize, hey, I need to write this down because more people need to know what I have and I only have so many hours in the day to help people? How did you come about with a book deal?
Yeah, thanks for the kind words, Scott. By the way, just to clarify, it's not a cookbook. Sometimes when you look for it on Amazon, because of the name, it will come up among the cookbooks, but it's a business book. And to answer your question, it did not happen overnight that I decided, okay, time to write a book before I die or something. I started by blogging and sharing my experiences on LinkedIn and other venues, and as I accumulated all these blogs, I realized gradually that I have enough material here that if I put them together correctly, it will be a nice looking book. One of the things to clarify again about the book, there are a few aspects or few dimensions to the book. So the reason for the name, very often when you deal with a new business or a new product, whether you work for a large company or you start your own pizza place locally, there is very often the chicken and an egg question or dilemma. So the name of the book comes from that, the chicken and an egg dilemma when you're dealing with a new business or a new service you start or a new product. There are two or three things that kind of guided me on writing the book. One is what I learned over my career is that many business challenges repeat themselves across industries. So you may be an owner of a restaurant and you have a dilemma that you can learn from an airline or you can learn from a bookstore or vice versa. You can learn from different industries, generic business practices and generic business challenges. So I made an effort to have the case studies in the book from a variety of industries. I think I cover 20 or 30 different industries. All has to do with commercializing new products and new services. But you have, everything from, invention of light beer to personal computers to airplanes to automobile. And since you are California, even prostitution in the gold rush in California. So everything, every industry is covered there. So this is one strategy, so to speak, in the book. The other thing is the time dimension. I tried not to bring two new examples, because very often with new examples, you don't know yet whether the strategy, the impact, the long-term impact of the strategy. You need to remove yourself, 20 or 50 or 200 years to realize what the strategic outcomes of a certain, approach to the business, what have you. So many of my examples are pretty old, but with lesson learned to today's very modern society and very modern technology.
Totally agree. I'm a huge fan. Ari, I've been following you for years. You and I have been connected in the business world, and I have counted on you not only for mentorship, but also for advice over the years, and I so appreciate it. One thing I will tell you about Lay an Egg and Make Chicken Soup is that it's a real I don't want to say it's a workbook because it, but it's a real, it's written in a way that you can pick it up anywhere, open the book to any page, read a chapter, and actually get a nugget of information. What I love about it is it's not one of those, even though it has a roadmap, it talks about innovation in such a way that, you know, the old saying is you either innovate or die. You can't stand still, right? There's no standing still. And I love the fact on the book is that I can read it from cover to front, cover to back, and it makes perfect sense. Or I can pick it up and open it in the middle, and I can read one of the case studies, and I can get a nugget of information. Because the beautiful part about it, the way this is written, is it actually helps you in any industry you're in. It doesn't matter if you're a hairdresser or if you're running a multi-billion dollar airline industry. It doesn't matter. You have information in your book that can help you be better and innovate, because some of the things you talk about are not inventions. I mean, the car was already invented, but you know, having a car is one thing, but then putting the innovations, I mean, and then talking about, you know, the electric vehicle and the steam vehicle and the, you know, all the different things through the automotive industry. Those are the things that we're talking about. The innovation. We all know what a phone is. We had phones back in the 60s. We could dial 10 digits and miraculously somebody else could pick up on the other end. And now our phones have become so much more, and we really didn't change the technology of, you know, transferring voice from one place to another, you know, from the day of Alexander Graham Bell. It's just the innovation of how we do it. Your book is so well written. It is so concise. It is so absolutely I think it should be on the nightstand of every business person in America. So thank you for giving us that gem. And I encourage everybody right now, go to Amazon, wherever you get your books, Lay an Egg and Make Chicken Soup by Ari Brish. It is one of it's one of those I would highly recommend as a read if you're in business. So thank you so much for giving us that, you know, and taking the time that I know it takes a long time to write a book. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate all the kind words.
No, it's fantastic. Okay, so now that you've got the book out, and we're going to put the link up on our website so people will know it's there and they can find it anytime they need it. So now what? I mean, so now you've got the book. More people are obviously reading the book. They're reaching out to you. What's next for CXO360? How do we get, you know, our listeners to engage with you if there's a need? What are the services and things that you're doing? Do I just send them to the website? How do we get our listeners engaged? And what's the ideal client look like? So as our listeners, you know, bump into other people during the day, they say, oh, I just had somebody on Mind Your Own Business named Ari Brish. He would be perfect for what you're talking about. He's an expert in that subject. So how do we engage with you?
Yes, thank you. So the website is a good place to start. It's www.cxo360.net, and be careful not to confuse the letter O with the number zero, because if you do, it will take you somewhere else. So this is one. There are lots of free downloads there with blogs I wrote and different papers and what have you. As far as the specialty of my services is really commercializing new products or new service or new technology, or it doesn't have technology, even a new restaurant or a new hair salon or whatever it is, and whether it's a large company or a small company, the similar challenges, the difference is sometimes the way you address the challenges. A large company has deeper pockets, but has other challenges in commercializing new product. And the fact is that in many cases, startups with no money outperform large companies when it comes to innovation and new products and new services. So my clients span all the way from early stage startups to larger companies, but all around the process of innovation, whether it's how to position the product, raise money for the project, you know, launch it to the market, blah, blah, blah. There is all details. And going back to the book, by the way, the structure of the book, and you had a very good observation. You can pick up any page in the book almost and read it independently. The structure of the book is almost like a checklist. So if you go to the website, there is a free download of checklist that you need to go through when you think about commercializing a new product or a new service. The difference between the book and the one-page checklist is the book has examples. So each item in the checklist has two or three, maybe more, different examples from different industries. And once again, I made an effort to make the diversity of the industry.
Absolutely. So I have been all over your website. And if you go to CXO, which is the letter O, not the zero, like Ari said, and then the numerals 360, like 360 degrees around in a view, .net, and then you go to the free downloads tab, the checklist is there. You can also find the commercializing innovation presentation. You can get a summary of the book, you know, so you can get the parts and pieces of it that you need there. Those are all free resources that are available to you from the expert Ari Brish. But what I also wanted to mention is that you touched on, and one of the things that I think is super important that we need to talk about just for a minute, and that is that young startup companies sometimes are the greatest in innovation. I mean, if we had left it, and I hate to go back to the telephone industry because I've already used it as an example, but when you and I were kids, you move out of an apartment out of your apartment, and the only thing left in the apartment is a black rotary dial phone hardwired to the baseboard because the phone stayed with the place, and you just moved from location to location, and there was still one in AT&T. Owned the phone and they own the wires, and I'm not picking on AT&T, but innovation came because, you know, the next little phone company comes up and says, oh, I have to do things better because the status quo isn't going to change. If you're a lot of times big, large corporations, and I'm not, again, please don't take this as a negative. I'm not picking on, you know, big companies, but because at one time they were also innovators, you know, so, but now they've got a business model and they're making money and they're kind of saying, well, why should I change it if it's not broke, right? Why fix it? And the next little innovator comes along and it's some young startup like an MCI or a Sprint or you think of some of these, you know, back in the day, kids right now that are listening to this, these were old phone companies, guys. These were, you know, for the millennials listening, you know, Google those guys, find out who they were. But, you know, those innovators came along and changed the world. So I think it's really critical right now that if you're listening to the sound of our voices and while we're talking about this, if you're a young startup and you've differentiated yourself from the status quo with innovation, you need to reach out to Ari today because you need strategy, you need marketing concepts, you need to, how are we going to get this to market? How are we going to take this innovation and make a name for ourselves and actually start eroding the market share of those large corporations that are status quo? Those are the people. Those are Ari's people. I mean, I hope I'm not way overstepping my bounds there, Ari.
Yeah. No, speaking about millennials, one of the first drafts of my book, and I definitely targeted business people in the early parts of their careers, whether it's millennials or Generation Z. So I sprinkled in the book every, you know, now and then something like millennials pay attention to this or that. And my first reviewers were my kids who are millennials, and they said, no, it's too offensive that you preach to millennials all the time. So I erased some of the references to millennials, but it's definitely for... So here is the motivation. And that has to do with the difference between small companies and big companies, and also the age differentiation between a young entrepreneur and somebody with lots of experience. The young people normally they are not boxed yet, just because at a young age, the box is not, your personal box is not concrete yet. So it's much easier for younger people to come up with new ideas. But then the lack of experience, they don't know what landmines are in front of them, so they don't know to bypass these landmines. When you are older and more experienced, you know what to expect, you know what the obstacles are. You have lots of scars from past lesson learned, so you know what to watch for. So a mix of experienced people and young entrepreneurs is a good mix. By the way, the book preaches for diversity in the team, and I think for the purpose of this conversation, the diversity in age is also very important. One of my clients today is a young entrepreneur, but he was smart enough to surround himself with probably 10 advisors that are 20, 30 years older than him. Michael Dell, by the way, when he started Dell Computers back in the days, he was very young. All his lieutenants were 20, 30 years older because he realized that, yeah, he has a great idea of supply chain innovation, but he needs the experience of executing and execution for the company. So there are two ways to do it, to accomplish the age diversity. One is like Michael Dell did, hire lieutenants that are older and more experienced than you. The other one is have a advisory board that is experienced and can hold your hand and guide you through the obstacles that you have to go through, and you don't know what you don't know. So if you don't know there is a speed bump and you drive 100 miles per hour into it, you find yourself flying into a ditch.
That's exactly right. No, I appreciate that. That's exactly right. And I know over the years, you and I both have spent a lot of time on advisory boards helping, you know, young entrepreneurs. And I don't mean just chronologically young. I'm talking about young companies because you can be we're not talking to you right now as, you know, if you're a young entrepreneur, we're not referring to your age. We may be referring to the fact is maybe this is your first foray into being an entrepreneur. Maybe you have been like Ari and I and worked in corporate America for lots of years. And then you finally just figured out there's a better way of doing this, right? I'm going to do it differently. And maybe you could even be anywhere. I mean, Colonel Sanders was 65 years old when he started Kentucky Fried Chicken. So it's not about your age. It's about your experience level. So if you're a young entrepreneur, meaning this is first or second, you know, foray into that, you know, surround yourself with people that have done it multiple times. And like Ari said, you know, watch out for those speed bumps. We know where some of those speed bumps are. But now, sometimes, you know, like I said, advisory is one capacity. So we give you advice. That doesn't mean you have to take it, because sometimes just pure grit and determination, you know, makes it too. So, Ari, this has been amazing. I'm so glad that we had a chance to share this with the audience. So if you're in the sound of our voice right now and you're hearing us talk, I will put up all of these links. I will get the CXO 360.net. I'll put the link up. I'll get you to all of his websites. I'll get you a place for his book. We'll get all of that on inspirednewsradio.com. Just go to there, inspirednewsradio.com. Go to the link that says, you know, mind your own business, and click on the link right there for the interview with Ari. All that information will be there, all of his links. So if you're an entrepreneur that is just, you know, looking at right now, how do I get started? What are the things? I have this great idea and this innovation, and what are the, you know, growth strategies I need? What is there something I need from a leadership standpoint? We've talked about that, building a success team around you. Maybe you need investment. Maybe there's a merger and acquisitions, you know, play here. Maybe there's a way that a larger corporation, rather than competing with them, you can actually partner with them. These are the things that Ari you know, is an expert in. And then finally, you know, if you're looking for commercialization, if you're actually taking this innovation, you've got this great idea and you how do I build a company around it? How do I actually, you know, so Ari can help you build an advisory board, help you set up, you know, the corporation, those things. That's what you want, you know. And then on top of that, just to get started, you know, the easy part is just go over to Amazon right now and, you know, click on Amazon and buy a copy of Lay an Egg and Make Chicken Soup, just so you understand, you know, kind of a little bit of the insight into Ari's brain and how it works. And you're going to go, hey, this is the guy I need on my team, and then reach out to him. So, Ari, you have been absolutely a dream. I love having you, and I've been such a I feel like a little bit of a fanboy here because I'm gushing a little bit because I have enjoyed reading your stuff for the last 10 years, you know, on social media and your blog and everything else. And I feel like that, you know, you and I are cut from the same cloth. So I feel a little bit of a fanboy going on.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on the show, Scott.
Well, listen, if you're listening to us, we really appreciate it. I say it every week, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't do what I do without you, the listener. Thank you for your feedback on social media. You can find me, of course, everywhere, LinkedIn. I'll put Ari's LinkedIn profile up on our link, too, so that you have all of that. You can find me on all the social media platforms, at Sales with Sully, of course. And every week, we put out a show called Mind Your Own Business right here. We're so glad that you're here. Wherever you find your podcasts right now, just scroll to the bottom of the page and click on that subscribe button. Just subscribe right now. We really appreciate you being a part of our family and part of our tribe. I try and bring you excellent content like this every week so that you have these little nuggets and you can find resources to help you in business. That's what Mind Your Own Business is all about. Every single week we do this and we put it out on Inspired News Radio. And of course, wherever you find your podcasts, we're there. We're on all the platforms everywhere across the board. And like I say every week, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart, mind your own business because nobody else is going to. So talk to you next week. Thanks. Keep those cards and letters coming.
You've been listening to Mind Your Own Business. Right here on InspiredNewsRadio.com. Thanks for tuning in each week as we interview some of the greatest CEOs and entrepreneurs in the world. You can reach us on Twitter at INR Talk Radio. Always use the hashtag MYOB for Mind Your Own Business. Make sure you stop by and check out all of the past episodes and all the great things that are available on our website, www.inspirednewsradio. There's great resources there that you can find for all of our other shows, too. Thanks for being a part of the Inspired News Radio family. Until next week. Remember to mind your own business.